Each time we pray morning prayer or evening prayer, we say the Apostles' Creed. And this creed includes the words, Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. And each time we celebrate the Eucharist, something we're not doing in this pandemic time, but each time we do, we say the Nicene Creed. And it contains similar language. Though we say these words often, what do we mean by them? What does it mean that Jesus will come and judge us all? Certainly, thinking about God judging us, perhaps punishing us, can be an uncomfortable thing. We more often speak of how God loves us, how God shows mercy and compassion to us. So how does God's judgment fit in with God's love? What does God's judgment look like? Previous generations understood plague and pestilence and famine as occasions of God's judgment. These calamities befalling humanity were seen as God's call to repent, the call to return to God. They were considered earthly punishment for the sins of humanity. In the Middle Ages, there was great fear of God's judgment at death. If someone dies and is in a state of sin, having fallen short of God's commands, it was believed that they were sent to purgatory for preparation for heaven, or if sinful enough, they were sent directly to hell for eternal punishment. Perhaps you've seen medieval art which depicts this, sometimes in gruesome detail. It shows the punishments that await the unfaithful. These scenes were to be a warning to the living so that they did not die unprepared and unrepentant. Is this what we mean by God judging us? Does God judge us at our death and our fate is sealed? Is it an all or nothing proposition? If we are condemned by God at death, is redemption ever possible? And that overarching question of where is God's love, God's compassion in judgment? Today's scripture lessons help, I think, to answer these questions and offer something more nuanced than that once and for all kind of judgment, offer us some hope that that is not how God operates. Today's gospel is in fact a parable of judgment. It is known as the parable of the wicked tenants. It tells of the consequences of one's wicked actions. It is one of three parables of judgment in this section of Matthew's gospel, a section that takes place at the beginning of Holy Week. These parables are an answer to the religious authorities who are questioning Jesus. They want to know about his authority. They ask, is Jesus teaching from God or from Satan or from himself? Jesus answers these questions only indirectly by telling these three parables. We heard the first last week. We'll hear the third next week. And so this week we hear that middle parable. All of these stories taken together answer the question that these leaders ask Jesus. They illustrate that the authority of Jesus is of God, even though these religious leaders don't see that. They do not understand the new work that God is doing in their midst in the person of Jesus. And that is illustrated in today's parable. It's a story in which a landowner has a vineyard. He cares for this vineyard, doing what is needed to produce excellent grapes. At harvest time, he asks those who are managing the vineyard to collect his produce, but these tenants refuse to give him what is his. They mistreat his representatives, refusing to hand over what is owed to the vineyard owner. Finally, the landowner sends his son, thinking they will not mistreat his son, they will listen to him, and at last hand over what is due. But instead, the wicked tenants, realizing the son is the heir, kill him, hoping that then they can seize the vineyard. Jesus, after telling this parable, asks the religious leaders, what will the vineyard owner do? They answer, "He will put the wicked tenants to a wretched death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give the harvest to the vineyard owner." Jesus makes clear that by rejecting him, these religious leaders are behaving just like the wicked tenants did. He quotes Psalm 118, telling them, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes." Though these leaders reject Jesus, by him God is laying a foundation for the redemption of humanity. By rejecting Jesus and by rejecting John the Baptist before him, these authorities are rejecting the kingdom of God. They are rejecting the new thing that God is doing. They are missing the new work God is undertaking. These leaders are supposed to be leading the people in faithfully following God, yet Jesus tells them they are blind to what God is doing. They are leading the people in their own way, not in God's. This parable reminds us that Jesus asks us to see what God is doing in and through him. He calls us to a new way of life, to see with fresh eyes, to embrace a new mindset. And those who refuse to see and are unable to follow, who can't hear God's call and act, are cutting themselves off from God. They are choosing to not be part of the kingdom of God. They incriminate themselves by rejecting God's kingdom and find themselves outside the vineyard, not sharing life with God. This theme of a vineyard is found also in our lesson from the prophet Isaiah. It tells of a vineyard planted by God. The passage is in fact a love song sung by God to God's beloved, the vineyard. God tells how God has carefully planted this vineyard, built a tower, as well as a vat for trampling grapes to make wine. Yet, despite this love and care for the vineyard, it produces wild grapes that have a bitter taste. These are grapes fit only for birds. And so God despairs over God's beloved, the vineyard, and asks, why has it chosen to produce wild grapes after all the care it received? In grief, God allows the vineyard to be trampled and withholds rain so it withers. God allows the vineyard to become a waste. Isaiah explains the vineyard is the people of Israel, and they have turned away from God. So God is angry with them and grieved, because God loves the people. Though angry, however, God promises to remain faithful to the people, even though they have not been faithful themselves. In Hebrew Scripture, prophets often use images of marriage and love to describe the relationship between God and God's people. The vineyard story describes the relationship that God desires with God's people. That relationship is one of love. God longs for the people. God is unhappy and misses the people when they turn away, but God waits in patience for their return. For God is in love with God's people and desires to be in close relationship with them. And God is grieved when the people are distant. Yet God allows the people to turn away, respecting their free will, not coercing them into obedience. Instead, God waits patiently, ready to welcome them back. And while they are distant, as we hear in our lesson today, God laments and pines for God's beloved. God longs for them. God hopes they will return to intimate relationship with God. This love song of God for the people teaches us that God is a God of relationship. Though we may think if we commit a particular sin, we are punished for a certain time in a particular way, as though God has a kind of checklist of sins and punishments, I'm not sure this is exactly how God acts. For God does not desire the death of any sinner. God will continue to wait for our return, will give us what we need in order to turn back to God. God does so so that we can return to God and our relationship with God can be restored. Today's lessons offer an image of God who practices gentle cultivation, just as one does with a vineyard or a garden or a relationship, tending it, caring for it, loving it. Rather than standing ready to consign us to the fires of eternal punishment, God longs for us to return to God. God loves us completely, nurturing relationship with us, disciplining us when needed, and doing what is needed so that we return to God and our relationship with God can be deepened. Today's lessons teach us that God does judge us for how we love God and our neighbor or how we fail to do so. They remind us that God's judgment is that of a lover for the beloved, always tempered by mercy and compassion, seen through the reality of God's profound love for us. God mourns when we are distant, pining for us, yet respecting our free will in leaving, and waiting and watching for us to return, welcoming us back with great rejoicing when we do. When God judges and disciplines us, it is to remove the impurity of our sin, to refine and purify us just as gold is purified by fire. This day, God calls us into the vineyard of the kingdom, into a vineyard planted by God with love. Everything we need is found in this vineyard, and there is enough for everyone in this vineyard. The reality is God nurtures and cares for us, bringing forth in us fruit worthy of God's love. Righteousness, compassion, humility, justice, all are expressed in our love of God, our neighbor, and ourselves. We are living in uncertain and challenging times. Our world has turned its back on God, abandoning the vineyard, deaf to God's call. We see around us the way the coronavirus pandemic shows no sign of ending, even now infecting our president and many government officials. There is anxiety and worry in this nation about the approaching election. And more than 400 years of white supremacy and systemic racism continue to afflict our nation as people of color fight for their rights and for their lives. And increasing numbers of people are in need of food and employment while the wealthiest grow ever richer. Our world needs the witness of God's love and mercy now more than ever. And so let us turn to God and accept the invitation of God to dwell in God's vineyard, that vineyard where we are loved and cared for by God, so that the fruits of God's love are visible in us and in our lives. Through us, may others come to know the power of God's love. And may we allow God to love us and cultivate in us that love, so that we bear fruit of love and justice, that God's loving kingdom transforms this world. Amen.